Order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. Present are Senator Giesel, Senator Bishop, Senator Reinbold, Senator Keel, Senator Kawasaki, and by the way, happy birthday, Senator Kawasaki, and myself, Chairman Birch. Legislators in the audience, I see none. Please silence your cell phones. And I would note today that we only have one item on the agenda. That would be SB 51, Outstanding National Resource Waters, sponsored by the Senate Resources Committee. This is the second hearing on the bill, which the committee previously heard on March 15th. Under public testimony, we will be taking public testimony on SB 51 today. So if you have not already signed up to testify, please do so in the sign-in sheet just outside the committee room door or with the LIO staff prior to 4:30 p.m. With that, we'll go ahead and open public testimony. And see, we've got a few folks signed up on the line here, too. Okay. Public testimony is open. And let's see if we have a sign-up sheet. Is anybody? Let's go. We can go on. Okay, here. We'll go first to the Anchorage LIO. We have Rebecca Logan with the Alliance. Rebecca, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Coming through loud and clear. We have a three-minute timer going, and good to have you joining us this afternoon. Please proceed.
Well, for the record, my name is Rebecca Logan, and I'm testifying today as the CEO of the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. Thank you, Chairman Birch, for the opportunity. You already have a record in your packet that came from a coalition of trade associations expressing their support for this, so I don't want to take much more time. But I do want to thank you for this. For 40 years, the Alliance has been working to promote a favorable business climate. And SB 51, this type of legislation, is exactly the type of thing that we're looking for, something that puts a really well-defined process into statute so that people know what it is and that it's predictable and it's stable. So really, I appreciate the legislation and just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you very much. With that, we will move to Owen Phillips, also in Anchorage at the LIO. Owen, can you hear us?
I'm here.
All right. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. And with that, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Birch and the Resource Committee. For the record, my name is Owen Phillips. I am an employee of the Alaska Support Industry Alliance, but my comments today come more from my lived experience than representing our members. This summer, I worked for the Vote No campaign with regard to the Stand for Salmon initiative. An argument I heard at the time, heard time and again, was not to allow high-level decisions to a singular appointed commissioner or group who may be swayed by political or by politics and bias. I applaud the simple language of SB 51 allowing input from multiple sources and how it defines a clear path for the designation of Tier 3 waters, a designation that, while sometimes necessary, should not be taken lightly. The path might not be short. While the path may not be short, SB 51 provides all the components that I believe, and from my experience, Alaskans believe, should go into the preservation of our water bodies: science-based decision-making from the department, public input via the legislature, and a clear policy on the statute books. In order to ensure our compliance with EPA policy, I urge the committee to support SB 51, and thank you, Chair Birch, for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Appreciate your testimony. Next, we go off net to Heather Lendy in Haines.
Hi, this is Heather Lendy in Haines.
Hi, welcome. Please proceed.
Thanks. I'm speaking for myself, but I also serve on the Haines Borough Assembly, and I stand with my neighbors in the Chilkat Valley in opposing SB 51. Because it seems to me, anyway, that it'll make it harder to protect the place we love, the Chilkat River, and the five species of wild salmon that spawn here, and also the people in the communities who depend on them. So thank you very much for taking my call. I also know that your job is hard, and I trust you to do the right thing. For me, this is a moral issue. I think we're meant to be stewards of God's creation, not moneylenders in the temple. And also, I know since becoming a grandmother, I have 6 grandchildren and 1 on the way, all Alaskans. My private and my public choices have become easier because they're not so much about me, but about the world that I want those kids to inherit, namely the Alaska that I love, that I think we all love, right? And what is it without clean rivers and wild salmon? So please provide a way to designate outstanding waterways in Alaska that's not so difficult so that we can get a Tier 3 designation. And I would suggest that the United Tribes of Bristol Bay plan be put forward. I think that one has the best chance of serving all Alaskans for generations to come. And I thank you very much for your consideration and your hard work.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Lendy. Next, we have Jan Hill, the mayor of Haines, online. Can you hear us, Ms. Hill?
Hello?
Yep. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Jan Hill. I'm the mayor of the Haines Borough. And our interest today is in speaking about the importance of having a fair process to make the Tier 3 determinations. The people of the Haines area are vitally interested in the legislature's efforts to establish a process for designation of Tier 3 rivers in our state. Currently, I believe there are 2 nominations for this designation of the Chilkat River, and they are pending. The Haines Borough does not have an official position on the issue before the legislature, except that the process must engage the people that live within the watershed of the nominated river, professional agencies, and the legislature. Haines residents are very engaged in issues that will impact our community and the state. This can sometimes be divisive. Our current administration chooses to deal with this by relying on scientific data and studies, which will allow us to make decisions based on facts, not on emotions or politics. The current bill under consideration requires a review by the Departments of Environmental Conservation, Natural Resources, and Fish and Game to ensure representation of the community of people residing in the watershed. The borough recommends including review by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs also. The Haines Borough recommends to this committee that a process for designating Tier 3 rivers include requiring a site visit by legislators and all recommending agencies, including the Departments of Environmental Conservation, Natural Resources, Fish and Game, and Community and Regional Affairs. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share my comments.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mayor Hill.
A question, Mr. Chair? For me?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor Hill, so the Community Regional Affairs, the local government agency under the Constitution, is the idea that would be a public consultation process, a municipal government process? How would you envision that working?
It could be a combination of both. The reason that we're suggesting that is it includes the people of the community. The other agencies represent, the fish and game and animals and the river, and we feel it's important to engage with the communities also and believe that could happen through community and regional affairs.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have signed up to testify. Thank you, Mayor. We have Pete Nolan with the Alaska Chamber. Pete, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Birch and members of the Senate Resources Committee. On March 19th, yesterday, the Alaska Chamber was a signatory on a letter that was sent to your committee by a number of business organizations in the state of Alaska. That was a letter sent in support of SB 51. Under the Clean Water Act, an environmental protection agency requires states to have a policy and a process for 3 stages and categories of water protection, the most stringent of which is Tier 3. Tier 3 covers an outstanding national resource water, and states are required to have a process by which nominations can be submitted and waters can be designated. Well, SB 51 accomplishes this. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation currently has a policy that nominations are decided by the legislature, consistent with Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution. to meet EPA's Tier 3 designation process requirement and to provide certainty to the public, SB 51 moves the DEC policy in the statute. This is something that we agree with wholeheartedly. Given the significant restrictions that would be placed on water bodies designated as Tier 3 in Alaska, the significant social and economic impacts to Alaska, it is the Alaska Chamber's position, along with the other signatories of the letter sent yesterday, that the authority to designate an ONRW or Tier 3 water must lie solely with the legislature as the elected representatives of Alaskans, consistent with the Alaska Constitution. We stand together with these other organizations in support of SB 51, and we urge swift passage of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Nolan. Next, we move to Marliana Hall with the Resource Development Council in Anchorage. Can you hear us, Marliana?
Good afternoon, Chair Birch and members of the Senate Resources Committee. My name is Marliana Hall. I am the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. RDC is an Alaskan Trade Association with members in fishing, forestry, mining, oil and gas, and tourism, as well as the 12 landowning Alaska Native corporations, labor, individuals, and others supporting responsible development of Alaska's natural resources. RDC has carefully reviewed SB 51, and I'm here today to request the members of the Senate Resources pass the bill out of the committee and support this version on the Senate floor. RDC has also signed on to the coalition letter that has been mentioned earlier, so I'll briefly just add a couple of comments. We believe the Tier 3 designation idea has been identified by groups opposed to all development in Alaska, and that without a proper designation process, unnecessary nominations will be made. Across our state, our projects, whether they be community or resource development, may be subject to outside interests making nominations or urging those in our state to make unnecessary nominations as well. Much of this bill will help protect land and access for our communities, for our Native corporations, and for our rural development projects. Without this process in place, our communities, those projects, and even the state could have to spend unnecessary dollars on questionable nominations and resulting litigation. So further, without this process in place, we jeopardize protecting our resources. This legislation should satisfy those opposing further development in Alaska by putting into law a proper mechanism for water nomination and designation while protecting Alaska's resources and all of our interests through requiring proper vetting for all nominations. Thank you for the opportunity to provide our comments today.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Hall. Next, we have Brenda Josephson from Haines.
Hi. I am a full-time year-round resident of Haines. I support SB 51 as a state system for processing Tier 3 nominations. Tier 3 designations place significant restrictions on communities in the watershed area. There's no mechanism to undo such a designation. Such a designation will have lasting restrictions on the options that are available to us today and our children and grandchildren into the future. The Tier 3 designation replaces management and enforcement of science-based water quality standards and regulations with a total prohibition of any new or expanded discharges, even if the discharge fully protects fish and aquatic life. I believe that due to the seriousness and permanent restrictions that a Tier 3 designation would impose, the authority to designate Tier 3 water bodies must be recommended by Fish and Game, the Department of Reservation, Conservation, the Department of Natural Resources, and the community, with the final decision remaining with the legislator, as our elected representatives of Alaskans. Please support SB 51.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Josephson. Next, we move into the room here, and we have Kimberly Strong with the Chilkat Indian Village. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Ms. Strong, and please give your name for the record, and we've got a three-minute timer here.
Thank you. My name is Kimberly Strong. I'm from the Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan, and I'm coming in to voice my opposition to Senate Bill 51 and ask for you to vote it down. I realize that there's all kinds of components out there and pulls for you folks. I have to say that I'm the president of my tribe, and our people have lived there for the last couple of thousand years, if not longer. we've relied on the salmon and the fisheries and the natural resources that are part of our community. When I think about our history, we were the fifth Chilkat village along the Chilkat River. We are the last Chilkat Indian village. Our people in Clukwan still live a subsistence lifestyle. What we've asked for is the Tier 3 designation of the Chilkat River. It has five species of salmon that run up the river. It's the five species of salmon and the trout, the hooligan, and the bears and the eagles that nourish the grounds around us. The state, not too long ago, in the recent history, made the bald eagle preserve. And that's part of what the watershed is for the Chilkat River. With Senate Bill 51, you're requiring us to go through not one hoop to find a designation to protect that water, where in the beginning of time for us, it was our responsibility as residents of the village and the community and the people that were on the ground there. We'll have to go through three different commissioners just to say they will all agree that the Chilkat River is important enough to the entire state to bring it to you folks in the legislative position you're in. And then we're going to take it to the governor and see if he wants to veto it because of the political wranglings that go on and the powers to be that have the purse to come down here, the lobbyists to come down and tell you folks this is a better thing for all of us because we're going to eliminate the ability for us to have that Tier 3. We're going to eliminate that by putting you through this process where it's almost impossible. And I don't know if you guys research, but I believe any state that has required this kind of process never has a Tier 3. They don't have to protect those rivers. When I went to the Bald Eagle Preserve meeting, I asked, is anybody checking the water quality up on the Klaheeny River? They told me, Fish and Game told me that was DEC's responsibility. I asked DEC. They said, well, we don't have the funds to check the water quality. Who protects the water? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Strong. Next, we have Jim Clark representing himself in the room.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jim Clark. I live at 1109 C Street in Juneau, and I'm representing myself, and I've managed to constrain myself to five bullets. If I could approach to just hand those out. Trevor's okay? Under the Clean Water Act, 40 CFR 131.12 requires states to have an anti-degradation process. And the process consists of two parts. One is an implementation program for Tier 3 waters, and another is to designate Tier 3 waters. The implementation regulations were promulgated by DEC in July, in April, and been in effect since July. And you'll find them at 18 AAC 70.016D. And they describe what happens with respect to a water body or a tributary that is designated Tier 3. So the issue before us, you, is how to designate a Tier 3 water body. The implementing regulations that I just mentioned say that a water body or a tributary of a water body cannot have any change made to the water quality of that water. So any discharge, even if it meets water quality standards, under the existing regulations, cannot be made to a Tier 3 body. As you'll see in the sponsor statement, there is a September 2014 list from Land and Water Division of 12,000 acres of areas of the state that have been set aside by the legislature. And since these designations to Tier 3 waters really preclude any designation on the adjacent land, and since they also prohibit any kind of development on the tributaries, you are in effect setting aside a whole water body, or excuse me, a whole watershed when you set aside a Tier 3 water body. And that is de facto wilderness. It's just like a park. It should be done by the legislature just as it's done for state parks. Former Commissioner Larry Hardig stated in a November 30th, 2018 letter to a group of senators here that the DEC policy was for Tier 3 designations to be made by the legislature. So if you were to veto this bill or not pass this bill, the legislature by policy would still be the body that would have to make the Tier 3 designations. So essentially, SB 51 would codify existing policy of DEC, and it would provide certainty to the public, and I would urge you to go forward with the passage of SB 51. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Clark. Next, we have Deantha Crockett with the Alaska Miners Association in room.
Chairman Birch, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Deantha Crockett, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Miners Association. We represent large mines here in Alaska, but we also represent small placer mining operations, a lot of whom are family-owned, rock, sand, and gravel quarries, that kind of thing, and then the vendors and the contractors that make a living off of a healthy mining industry. So the umbrella association of mining, if you will. As you've heard from plenty before me, the Clean Water Act requires all states to have a policy against the degradation of waters and to maintain associated procedures that prohibit the lowering of water quality under three categories, the most stringent of which is Tier 3, which is what we're discussing today. This is a designation for an outstanding national resource water, which is described as having exceptional recreational or ecological significance or waters that you'd find within state parks or refuges. Tier 3 waters are required to be maintained at their baseline conditions and effectively can't have any new or any expanded activities. This is applicable even in situations where the activity meets water quality standards and fully protects the fish and other water uses, which you can find in 18 AAC 7016D, and I believe you have a copy of that. So therefore, a Tier 3 designation really results in significant restrictions and some prohibitions on land uses as well as water users, and it will cause significant adverse social and economic impacts. Because a Tier 3 water designation applies to a Tier 3 or a tributary to Tier 3 water, it'll prohibit development in entire watersheds. This is comparable to wilderness. And because of that, we think the authority to designate a Tier 3 water should lie solely with representatives of Alaskans, which, of course, are you, the legislature. Because of the impacts of a Tier 3 designation, it's really no different than the 12 million acres that have already been designated by the legislature. And I think Mr. Clark referenced something in your packet that goes through all of those refuges, sanctuaries, et cetera. And DEC agrees with this. I think one of the earlier testifiers talked about how the former administration adopted a policy, which was outlined by former Commissioner Hartig in a letter to some of you senators, I believe, talking about how internal policy was established that stated that nominations would be forwarded to the legislature for consideration. So this bill really puts that in statute and is a housekeeping measure to implement that policy and provide process certainty to the public. We do think in the five nominations that are before DEC currently, it is evident that there are some attempts to block development here, but it also goes a lot further than that. And some of the earlier organizations that testified referenced a letter that AMA is also a party to. It's a pretty diverse group that talks about, yes, there are implications to resource development, but there's a lot of implications to road building and community wastewater treatment plants, stormwater plans, all kinds of things that are impacted when you really severely restrict the uses of a water body. So with that, when a designation of a Tier 3 water so effectively restricts the uses, that we think that's a land designation and that should that authority should lie solely with the legislature. So thank you for the opportunity to provide AMA's comments on this.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Crockett. Next we have Guy Archibald with the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council here in the room. Read your name into the record and proceed.
Yes, Chair Birch and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Guy Archibald, and I'm the staff scientist for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. This testimony is on behalf of SEAC. Additionally, I have some written testimony that I would like to submit. Industry states that a designation of outstanding national resource waters is some kind of barrier to development. This could not be more untrue. Allowing the residents of Alaska to protect waters that are critical to our communities, our health, and our economy from degradation actually only partially levels the field in comparison with the rights corporations enjoy to contaminate our waters purely for the sake of profit. Profits that more than likely will leave the state. Currently, industry is provided with a completely administrative process to discharge toxic waste into our waters. This process does not mandate that the most protective alternatives to the proposed discharge be chosen. It does not require the use of best available water treatment technology. It does not require the applicant to conduct or submit any baseline water quality data. It even often waives the requirement to monitor the receiving waters. It allows the use of toxic mixing zones as a rule rather than as an exception. Currently, Alaska allows one discharger to completely use the capacity of a water body to absorb contamination all the way down to the water quality criteria. When writing the rules on degrading high-quality waters, the state did not consider reserving any of the assimilative capacity for the benefit of any other users of the water body, including the residents. Alaska bases its water quality criteria for the protection of human life on the ludicrous fish consumption value of 6.5 grams per day per person, less than one bite. Alaska is one of the few jurisdictions in the world that allow the cruise ship industry to dump wastewater into inside waters and even well tied up in port. Alaska is currently considering allowing exemptions to the rule banning mixing zones in anadromous salmon streams. Alaska cannot and will not require treatment to protect the water to the extent that it makes any development unprofitable. Alaska is the only state in the union that exempts prohibiting attorney fee awards against unsuccessful good faith public interest litigants, eroding the citizens' rights to redress through the courts. Alaska is the only coastal state without a coastal zone management program that would give a voice in local development. All in all, the scale is heavily weighed in favor of those who seek to pollute our waters. At what point does our government and laws fail to protect its citizens? I oppose SB 51. Protecting the water should be no more onerous of a process than it is to pollute it.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Archibald. Next, we move to Sarah Davidson with the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Offer your name up for the record and proceed.
Sure. My name is Sarah Davidson, and I'm here on behalf of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. Esteemed Chair and members of the Senate Resources Committee, it is my sincere honor to address you today. I did not come here to appeal to your scientific sensibilities, though it would be scientifically sensible to defeat this bill. I'm not here to speak to your logic, though the only logical course forward would be to defeat this bill. And I'm not here to convince you of your fiscal responsibilities, though there is only one fiscally responsible thing to do here, and that is to defeat this bill. I'm here to appeal to your humanism with one simple message. Senate Bill 51 will hurt all of us, even those who proposed this bill and those who are here to advocate for it. Whoever stands to gain in the short term will lose in the long term. Allow me to explain. One of the distinct privileges of my job as the Inside Passage Waters Program Manager at SEAC is the opportunity to travel throughout this phenomenal region, speak to communities about water challenges and opportunities, and to listen to their concerns, needs, and interests. Last week, I was in the Chilkat Valley, where I heard from several community members in Clequan and Haines, including those who nominated the Chilkat River as an outstanding national resource water because of its enormous cultural, economic, and ecological importance to their lives. One person whose family has called the Chilkat home for thousands of years addressed the notion of time. She shared the idea that the impacts of the decisions we make today persist far beyond our own lives. It is not our own costs and benefits we should be considering here as we weigh this decision, but the costs and benefits to the grandchildren of our grandchildren, or in her eloquent and powerful words, those yet to come. What will be the cost of making it more difficult to protect our most valuable waters? And who will bear this cost? It won't be us. DEC will tell you this is a political issue. The proponents of this bill say it's a land use issue, and therefore a legislative one. Don't be fooled. It's neither political nor legislative. To echo earlier comments, it's a moral issue, as I was reminded by an elder who spoke passionately last week in the Chilkat Valley. We all stand to lose when we don't prioritize our clean water resources. There must be a mechanism for us to protect our most valuable waters equal to the mechanism to degrade them. This is not my perspective alone. It is shared by the over 90 people who signed our petition calling for a Tier 3 designation process equally as administrative and streamlined as the permit process to degrade our waters. Any short-term financial gains made by the passing of SB 51 will be undermined in the long-term, will be undermined by the long-term detriment to our clean water, our healthy fish, and our resilient communities. SB 51 hurts all of us. I call on each senator on this committee to have the courage to prioritize clean water for those yet to come by defeating this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Davidson. Next, we move off net to Kodiak. We have Vicki Jo Kennedy. You're there, Ms. Kennedy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello. We can hear you loud and clear. Proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Birch and all the committee members. Sorry I couldn't be there in person today, but I'm sick. And happy birthday, Senator Kawasaki. Just following Sarah, I mean, how articulate she was. And I just want to make a brief comment. I am definitely against SB 51. My first full year in Alaska in 1988, I spent 2 days up in the Chilkat Village, and that's where I fell in love with the Chilkat Valley. And I've been jumping up and down since last year when this was brought to my attention, and I'm so glad to see so many people starting to come in. And just really, it isn't ethical. We have got to draw a line somewhere. You look all up and down Southeast, we have got our hands full with cleanup from other mines. We had a great lunch and learn just the other day, and all of this was brought to our attentions. I believe it was Monday. So, you know, I know this legislature. I've been there, what, 2-3 times a week since day one, opening day, the 15th of January. And I know you're working hard. And I just, for once, just once, listen to the people and listen to the ethical treatment of all peoples and all animals in the Chilkat Valley. So with that, I thank you, and we are counting on you to do the right thing.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Kennedy. I would note that that concludes the folks who have signed up online to testify. Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to testify? I don't think we have anybody else signed up. Well, hearing none and seeing none, we will close public testimony on SB 51. And at this point, we'll go ahead and set the bill aside. It's my intent to bring SB 51 back up for consideration on Wednesday the 27th, March 27th. And if committee members would like to propose any amendments, please get them to my office by Tuesday, March 26th at 3:30 p.m. I would note that the next Resources Committee meeting will be on Friday, March 22nd, when we will hear an update from the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation on Alaska on the Alaska LNG project. With that, this meeting is adjourned at 4:05 p.m.